Welcome to Lunch with Jarrett. Guys, number 100. Happy 100 episodes of Lunch with Jarrett over the course of 12 years.
Yep.
12 years. A lot of podcasts do like one a week, so to get to 100 would take 2 years.
Right.
It took us 12 years.
Well, those people put out shitty content.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's why ours is about quality.
Yeah. Jeremy had some stats,
but
when we started 12 years ago...
I looked, and when we started, there was 90,000 podcasts when we started. There are 4.6 million registered podcasts, and around 600,000 actually put out content on a regular basis. So we are... What is like those restaurants that they all fail within like the first year?
Yes.
Like we're a success.
We keep going.
Yeah. We're millionaires. We just haven't been paid yet.
Yes.
We're compounding the money. At some point, it's going to come in like a big giant bag of money.
Yeah. With any business, you know, you don't make money the first 12 years.
12 years.
You lose money to make money.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're in like a 15-year plan.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So happy 100 episodes, Lunch with Jarrett.
Yes.
I mean, the crowd goes wild.
Yes.
We're still here.
I think I could probably pipe in like a sound effect of a ha or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe I'll just take some sound from the Bronco game this last weekend.
Just like some cloud, like people. Remember people used to come and listen to our podcast while we recorded it?
People.
Was that a thing?
Someone came and listened, right?
Yeah, people have leaned in. My kids have listened before. P.S. Both my sons have found the podcast on their own. Their mom, who I'm not currently married to, forbade, told them not to listen to it.
Really?
And then when they said, well, we're going to do it anyway, they're like, well, then tell your dad you're listening to his show.
Okay.
So they both told me, and I was like, great. And in my head, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what have I said over the course of 12 years that it may be not great for them to hear?
I don't know. There's probably no trail of what we've done. So
there's no record of it. Heard way more. And also, if she told them not to listen, that means she knows the content. That means she's listened.
And she's been on it.
She has been on it.
Oh, yeah.
She was on it way back in the day.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Probably in the first 2 years, of not in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
Yeah. If I had to take a stab in the dark.
Yeah.
To do anything for 12 years.
We should have her on.
Yeah, we should. Just bring her back in, remote guest.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Maybe
from our past.
You could do it, like bring it in, and then
I'll tell you.
That's right.
Yeah. And special guest.
And just drop it in. Uh-huh. That would be fun. Uh-huh. To do anything for 12 years, whether it's like have friends or a job or a podcast, like it shows a little bit of longevity, right?
We've had multiple friends join us and be part of it and call in and have questions and
It's a family.
Yes.
It really is. The Lunch with Jarrett family.
Ben's been on the show.
Ben, yes.
Brian Winkelbaum. No, what the hell was his last name?
Weinberg.
Brian Weinberg. Thank you.
Yes.
He was on it. Okay. Dan Ranke was on it. Connor was on it.
We had
the football guy. Who was the football guy that played for the LA Kiss?
JJ Raderink.
Yeah.
Randall.
Who are these people?
Yeah. Connor.
These are all pre-Sam.
Yeah.
Pre-Sam. Okay.
Wives. Yeah.
Wives are on it.
Yep.
Ex-wives are on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Texas this last time, the kids, since I listened to them, I'm like, well, let's record an episode. We'll just use our phones.
Yeah.
We've got like a crude one. And my 14 was like, no.
I'm
like, no, it'd be fun. He's like, he got like really sheepish about it. He just didn't want to do it.
Okay.
Do you think it was about the like recording and performing, or was it about like the crude nature of it? Do
the
we
dick
know?
Jokes?
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows some pretty good dick
you
jokes.
You don't want to be telling dick jokes with your dad, though.
No.
You just don't.
No, never.
Yeah.
No.
You don't tell dick... I tell some dick jokes with my dad.
About
maybe
his,
not when I was 14.
About his dick? Or about...
No.
Whose
like,
dick are we talking about?
Yeah.
Nope. Hi. Hello.
General.
Yeah.
Most of them.
There was one time when I was maybe 30 years old, and my dad and I were walking into the gym, and he said something like, I really got to get back in shape because I look down and I can't see my dick. He made some reference to him, a joke about him being heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can't say that. You can't, like, I can't have my dad make a dick joke back to me,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Thoughts?
I think it's fine.
I would make me feel uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, we're not friends. He's still my dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you tell him what his dick looked like since he hasn't seen it?
I have a picture of it. I'll just send it to him.
Here it is.
Okay, so we are at Fire on the Mountain, obviously. If we were going to do 100th episode, we should do it here.
Yep.
Sam is also simultaneously doing a kind of a wing tour of Denver.
Yes.
You want to talk about that for a second?
We are doing a wing tour of Denver.
Good.
And
good.
We're trying to find the best wings. And so I'm going to all these places I've never been.
Yeah.
But Fire on the Mountain's the old standby. I've been here 36 times. Yep. I mean, I love it here. Yep. And I'm excited. What was the sauce of the month we're trying today?
It's like a...
Mustard pearl. Okay, it's going to be great.
But it's going to be mustard-based, so it's going to be...
Might be on that little board, that monthly special.
Let me check the monthly special board here while we... Pearl of Carolina. Our very own spicy Carolina gold recipe. Yeah. Okay, can't wait.
Yeah, so not only like this is our 100th episode, we're kind of... We, and I say I've thrown in with you guys, we're kind of branching out our... The content we're pushing out. Sam and you guys are putting out a lot of content, and I'm just riding along with it as a contributor.
It's the golden age of content.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So
I've seen the content you push out about your kids, though. So you are—you have your own side family.
Side
why are you trying to push me out of this content?
Who's pushing? You left.
I didn't.
Oh, I thought there was an email.
I can't wait for the episodes to come out, and then at the end, in the credits, contributor Jeremy Nelson.
Yes, featuring.
Yeah.
Feet.
Uh-huh. Oh, here it comes. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So we took a little break to eat. All right. So first of all, can we talk about accidentally being rude? Yep. What is the backtrack? Because she walks out and she says, who had the spicy peanut and whatever? And I was like, me. Right. And immediately I was like, that came out kind of rude.
And it was like you didn't look. You were doing something else.
You weren't even looking up. Yeah.
If I had just gone, me, that would have been okay. But no, I was like, me. Like
went,
a child.
Please.
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 So if you say please or can you...
I don't think it was that rude because you could have easily gone, me, snapped your fingers, and pointed down at where she needed to put the food.
Snap.
So. Clear your throat. Are you pointing at... No, I'm just pointing at the table.
Yeah.
So like when it's that self-evaluation of, I'm sorry, that was rude what I just did.
Right.
What about people that don't do that? Just go, me, and then they just look at
they're
her.
Rude.
Just,
they don't know what...
They are the rude people.
They have no self-awareness.
The rudes.
Yeah.
I also like when you asked her, you're like, what about that? And she goes, I don't care.
No, I said, if I say please, does it kind of eliminate the rude? And she goes, one Mississippi. She goes, no.
But then she told us how that happens to her sometimes, too, so she can relate. And she's also like, literally, I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
You guys are sitting in a tent out in front of our restaurant. Enjoy.
Not a hut.
Yeah.
Sam called it a hut. He's like, can we go out and sit in the hut?
Yeah. Oh, I like it.
She goes, the yurt?
The yurt. Yes.
It has a yurtish.
It does. Yeah, it's yurty.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a tent roof in the summer, but as soon as the winter comes, it's a yurt.
Yes, it is yurty. Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh. You can have a bat mitzvah in here. Bat mitzvah? Yep. Bar mitzvah?
Never been to one of those.
No.
No. Have you?
No.
Yeah, have you?
No.
Why would we? None of us are of the Jewish persuasion.
No, but my wife's been to a bunch because she grew up around Jewish people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did that okay.
I think you did. It was a good pause. Like, I saw your forehead wrinkled. Like, how do I say this properly?
When you said that, Derek didn't look down at the timer to see when he needed to edit
something. 2 minutes into
yet
the second
again,
half.
Here we are.
3-2-1.
It's a tough one because you can say, you know, a few things, and it can sound like a normal thing or it can sound like an insult.
Right.
But I think that went fine.
That was good.
Should we just try to get invited to one so we could say we've been to one?
Doing a podcast at a bar or bat mitzvah would be an excellent use of our
time. It'd be a good get.
Yeah. It'd be a great get.
It'd be a good goal for the second 100 episodes.
Maybe you could produce that. You can become the podcast producer finding the locations and stories.
Purely talent. Ooh. Only talent.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Name?
I haven't heard.
Image and likeness. Talent. That's what I'm. Yeah.
NIL. Yeah. T. We got some people from our past we could reach out to. Ron.
Yep.
Ron.
Ron Allison. I think he lives in Arizona. No, he lives here. He moved to Arizona. He came back. He actually works just up the street.
See? There we go. Ron. Okay. What?
Swing by.
That's
who
good.
You got?
That's it.
Yeah.
We only need one.
Right.
Everybody needs one. What do you need? Bail money? No, I was just reaching out to the podcast.
No.
Cool.
Sorry, I honestly.
Oh,
this is perfect timing.
That's rude.
Is rude. We're stuck out here in the hut.
We have three people running the show.
We're in the hut.
Yeah,
you
in
guys
the
are
hut.
Hidden out here.
Thank
we're
you.
Good.
Cool. Thank you. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Do y'all want to close out and chill?
I think. Do we want to close out?
Yeah. If you don't mind. One tap. I'll take it.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Let me go get a hand.
No, I got it. Okay. Ooh, this is a real question. When was the last time you almost got in a fight? Like legitimately.
Fist fight?
Yes. Or,
no.
Yeah.
Well, as a kid.
Some kind of like physical altercation.
Mm. That was a good question.
I think since like college.
Yeah. I'm not saying actually
good
got
shit
it,
talker.
But almost got
just
it.
Just enough to get out of a lot of things too.
That's what I've always.
I take it back. I do know. I was probably my early 20s. Friend was getting married. They got married. The whole wedding party, everybody went to Sing Sing.
Yes.
To nice. Celebrate afterwards. Okay.
Thank you.
With like the wedding party parents and everybody too. So like 30 people show up to Sing Sing with parents and we were there for a long time and some guys started talking shit to everybody. We're in like suits and tuxedos and stuff like that. And I remember having to hold a guy back till the cops showed up, like pinned him up against the bar because he was trying to start a fight with like the dad of like one of the bridesmaids or something.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. See, you're a big guy too. Yeah. I wouldn't think people would pick fights with you.
Well, I was just part
of just there.
Yeah, I was just there. And I was just like, remember like holding him going, you're not going to be able to move, dude. You're hammered and you like, what are you doing? And the cops show up. And then the cool thing was we were there like when the lights turned on at like 7 o'clock at night. And the bartender was like, these people have been here all night. They're fine. It's these people that were problems. So I just remember going, has anybody ever gotten in a fight after a wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably 25 years ago.
No, you go because I have a real story. But
no, I don't think I've thought about punching people. I never did. It's
So this happened to me like 3 nights ago. So we're in busy Pearl Street, Boulder, driving down. It's packed. No parking anywhere. There's a parking spot. I'm going this way. There's a parking spot on the left. So I will have to
turn around.
Make a U-turn, but like make a 90-degree turn to pull in.
Sure.
I pull up. The guy's pulling out. I put my blinker on. As he's pulling out, we see people coming the opposite way. I'm like, okay, well, let's let those people go so we don't have to jam them up.
Sure.
And as soon as that guy pulls up, the first person, zoop, goes right into the parking spot.
So he did the 90-degree turn?
No,
or
he
what?
Was coming
he that way. Yeah, okay.
He had
the right of way?
He had the right of way to keep going, but I was in traffic, blinker on a good 30 seconds.
Really?
It was obvious I was going there.
Right.
So and we were just going to let him go and then pull in.
Yeah, that's what you do. You
so the person just pulls right in. So I put the car in park right in the middle of the street, and I get out, and I go up to the window, and it's an old lady, just tap on the window, and I say, excuse me. I swear to God, I said, nice. Excuse me. We've been waiting here for a couple minutes. If you want to just mind backing out, this is our parking spot. And as I'm doing this, old guy, let's call it late 50s,
okay,
bald, goatee, glasses, gets out of the back seat. The other side comes around. He doesn't get in my face. He just confronts me. He's like, we're not moving. And we proceed to yell at each other for 30 seconds. Like,
okay. Your car is still sitting in traffic.
My car is in traffic running with the blinker on.
Is anyone honking?
No one's honking, but we are... mostly me MFing this guy.
Yeah.
And he keeps going, what are you going to hit me? What are you going to hit me? And I kept thinking in the moment, I'm not going to hit you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not even almost going to hit you, but I really want to because he was kind of egging me on because he knew I wasn't going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to punch another person
over
a parking space. Yeah. But he was wrong, and I couldn't let it go.
Was his son or something? That,
no, he was older than me. He was 55-year-old man.
The husband?
So it probably was a husband or a double date or something like that. And it's one of those, like, if I didn't have the disposition of, like, I'm not going to punch a person over a parking spot, but how about...
got out of the car. I don't even know if I would have got out of the car.
But that's what I was going to ask you. Is like, in that scenario where the person's doing the wrong thing, and they're in the spot, nothing can be done.
Right.
Like, he's not going to move.
I'm
not going to call the cops.
Yeah. Right.
You can either beat the shit out of this guy and then you go to jail,
right.
Or you just go, fuck, and that's it.
I probably would have gone, fuck.
Yeah, I would have done that.
But what do you do?
No, you don't do anything.
Do you do anything?
You just go.
But what if I was a psycho and that guy gets out and I just unloaded on him?
I think
which I wouldn't have.
Right. He's a psycho, too, for getting out and confronting you.
Kind of.
Right. Yeah.
The important thing is that you let them know they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
And I do believe that'll make them change their behavior in the future because they won't want to have that uncomfortable situation again.
Right.
They're like, we're right. We're doubling down. Of course, you're going to do that now. But next time when you think about it, you might think twice.
I don't know. That guy just seems like a psycho. The fact that he came over to confront a stranger who parked his car in the middle of the street to come over to confront a lady.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy probably does that a lot.
I think I might do that too. If someone was like,
an
old lady in the front of the car and someone was like, nice,
but
I wouldn't do
her?
That.
He was with her. Yeah.
I would just go.
Yeah, they're part of the same.
Yes.
He was in the car.
Right.
And so, I was not accosting this lady. I was just talking to her.
Right.
And he gets out and it got nasty pretty quick.
So what were you saying? Like,
Just like I said, you're doing the wrong thing. You know, he's like, you're on the other side of the street. And I was like, you know how this works. It's super busy down here. I have my blinker on. You saw me and you took the parking spot. He's like, we're not moving. We're not moving. So then I walk back to my car, and he's like, go back to your car, asshole. Okay. And then he's like, I got your license plate.
Now
and I beelined right back to him. I was like, I'm going to take my driver's license so you can see who I am, and I'm going to shove it up your ass. Yeah. And then I just – then I was really upset. Yeah, again, not going to hit him.
Right.
I'm not the almost guy. Right. Yeah. I was never going to hit him. Yeah, yeah. Right. But when I came back at him, he got like on his heels a little bit. But there's no penalty for that guy to be an asshole because once you realize you're not going to get punched, you could just be a jerk.
Yep, right.
And there's no penalty.
Did you hope a little bit that he swung at you?
Didn't think about that part.
Give him the old three-piece and a soda.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't think it was going to be.
All right. He's had enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I guess that maybe is the other question is like if he pushes you or whatever, like do you just instinctively just unload on him? Like, you started it.
Now it's self-defense. So yes.
Kind of. I think that's
like
also
a push. I don't know if I would retaliate on a push. Maybe push back.
I think I would.
But like,
actually,
take a swing, I might have. Like,
it depends on state law. But even someone getting too close to you can be construed as a threatening, violent maneuver for invading your personal space. You can say, I thought they were going to attack me. I had to defend myself.
Right.
But nonetheless, the fact that like him like having the conversation with you even a bit aggressively, it's understandable. But then when you leave for him to continue it, he's definitely in the wrong.
So I'm thinking like I was putting myself in your spot. I don't know if I would have got out of the car to say something. But if I'm in his spot, someone comes up to my wife, knocks on the door and goes, you better move your car. And I hop out. I then knock on the door and go, yeah, fucking move your car. I'd be on. Yeah. I'd be on his side.
There's people on the side, like, placing bets. Yeah. I'll take the guy in the hat.
Yeah.
No. Why'd you park here?
Yeah.
You told me to park here. Move your car.
It's really
right,
an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this was the spot. Well, you know, all this works. I had my blinker on. What do you mean your blinker on? Yeah. Well, it's the grace period.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But what is the etiquette? I mean, obviously, there's a known etiquette in that scenario. And then when someone just goes, well, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do what I want. Then what do you do? Okay. Like, what is the...
People are assholes.
You're an asshole.
Just being a dipshit.
That's it.
Okay, well. Yeah.
And then, so I have this, maybe it's a father thing, but I have this, like, instinctual need to, like, when someone is being wrong, I want them to know that they're being wrong. Because you weren't raised right, or you just think that you can do whatever you want, and I don't think that's okay.
Yeah.
You need to hear that you're a fucking asshole.
Right.
But then, that's it.
Do you think that's a father thing? I think that's just who you are, though.
Maybe.
That's okay.
Maybe.
I've heard you tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You've heard it too, right?
Mm-mm. Oh. Never. Only support.
Sam
like
is
a father.
Sam goes to you go to Sam when you want to yes.
You're like a stepfather to me, but a father to Sam. That's why it is.
It just got really weird.
Oh, I mean, he's never told you. I've never heard him tell you that you're
has
wrong.
Has he told you that you're wrong?
Oh, certainly. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In work
for him.
Positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. Or negative ways.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So that's the other thing I was going to bring up today is when people work for you, you are de facto the man, right?
Yep.
Everyone works for you.
Right. Yeah.
And when you're the man, you're always an asshole to your employees when there's a conflict. Even if the employee is clearly wrong, when you point out the fact that they're wrong, somehow you're always the asshole.
Mm.
Thoughts on that?
Well, if you're a low-level employee.
Yes.
But once you as the employee earn the respect of the employer, then I think the conversation happens differently.
Yes.
And number one, you're not going to take it like the guy's being an asshole. And they, because of that, they're going to have the conversation with you in a different way.
Yes. I agree.
And it will happen also probably online is when you are in charge, you just have to assume that 10% of the time your employees probably are talking shit about you to each other because that's just what you do.
Yep.
So you have to accept that part of it. Like
we have a team vent chat on Teams for our team that doesn't have everybody calls it like the players only.
Players only meeting. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
But like we very rarely talk shit about our boss. Like we talk shit about the company and talk shit about like but like we know that he just is doing one thing. He's being told to do something. He's not.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
So like, but I'm sure there are players only meetings where the manager is an asshole and the whole thing is like, this guy's an asshole. So I think it's how you approach it as the boss. Like, yes, everything is going to be pushed on you as the boss of like, he's the man. So bad things he gets, it's like quarterback. You're going to get blamed for the majority of the stuff and you're not going to get any of the credit for the win. But good managers do that, too, and go, my team really exceeded, or we didn't do a great job. That's on me for not being a...
Yeah. I think the complaining thing about the boss is very common. I just think it's a low frequency thing. I don't think high performers, I don't think killers do that.
No.
I think they do their shit and then they, I don't know, they're busy.
I think killers go, there's criticism coming back. They will go, how did I fuck this
up?
They don't go, you're an asshole for pointing it out.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Yep.
Yeah. My least favorite move by an employee is taking longer to explain why you can't do something that it would have taken to do the thing.
Oh, I like that one.
Right. And so one. When I point that back out to them, then that's when I'm the asshole.
What as the boss man.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the differences between excuses and reasons?
That is a really good, well posed. I always want to hear what you have to say. Usually an excuse is you doubling down on a reason.
Yeah.
A reason could be I was late because of this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back into it again. Mm-hmm. And then when you kind of show your hand that you're using it as an excuse for poor behavior, means you did something wrong.
Okay.
That's usually when I'm like, no. But gotcha. I'll take it once. Because I like to do that too. At least like I'll agree to help you. But I do want to give you my two cents of why this was fucked up because you need to hear it.
Right.
Yeah. And that goes back the other way, right?
Yeah,
they want to say, I was late because my car was fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And as long as you just move on from there, then it's okay.
Okay. No, I even had to look that up the other day, like for my kids to look up the difference between excuses and reasons. And it was like, excuses are things that you had control in, and reasons were things that you had no control in that affected it. So made sense to me that way, as opposed to hey, how come you didn't clean your room? The excuse was, well, I was busy doing something else. A reason would be like, I was at my basketball game, Dad. I wasn't even
here.
I wasn't here.
I don't live here anymore. Yeah. I'm 30.
I don't live here anymore.
How long are we going to do this, Dad?
Oh, this old dance again. I'm okay with it being like, I forgot. You had control over it, or I left late, and that's why I'm late.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's you sort of owning it.
Yep.
And that's still a reason. Mm-hmm. It's an excuse is when you go, you should be okay with me fucking this up because of my reason. Well, mm-hmm. Then now it's an excuse.
Right.
It's okay. Like, I love the one is like, I'm sorry I was late, but I left late.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's it. I mean, I was busy. I was thinking about something else and I left late. I'm sorry.
You just say sorry. Like, sorry, and this is what
won't happen again.
Uh-huh. There's a great old clip of, I think it's Richard Pryor on late night TV. And there's like two guests there, and the other guest is telling some super sad story. And he just busts out laughing in the middle of it. And everybody stops like, what? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just, I just did.
That's great. The thing with employees, though, is like you do kind of have to listen to their bullshit because if you care about them, like maybe there's something there. Maybe you need to commiserate. Mm-hmm. Maybe whatever. But then when they are full of shit, you have to go, all right, gotcha. You're kind of full of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you dropped the ball. Or here's how you could have done it differently. And a lot of times people with excuses don't want to hear any pushback of this is how you could have done this better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't want that at all.
Right.
And kids don't either.
Yeah.
No, they definitely don't. Like ever.
Right.
You know?
But you're right. Killers be like, got it.
Yep.
Thanks. My bad. Mm-hmm. Won't happen again.
Figure that shit out.
Yeah. I don't need to say anything to a killer because he already knows he kind of fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The highest level is, and where you should try to get to, and is, hey, the same conversation includes, listen, this didn't happen or this got fucked up. However, this is what I have done or am doing to fix it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's always going to make people happy. If you're
like,
I did this. This is why it happened.
Yep.
But here's what I'm doing to fix it.
Yep.
Great.
Acknowledgement of error and then a solution usually will diffuse most situations.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
The time when I find that it works the least, though, is when an underling has this illusion that you're all the same, right? Like Corolla has this big thing he talks about. Like, there's no more privates and generals. Like, everybody's the same.
Mm.
Young people think we're at the same level. I know the same amount of you. And that sort of like respect is lost on young people.
Yeah.
That they feel like they can just talk to the boss however they want and that there's no ramifications. And those kids, you got to kick them in the shins because they got to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea that there's no hierarchy. It just, nothing works that way either.
Right.
Not like, hey, this isn't how it works. No, this can't work if there's no hierarchy.
Right.
Nothing can.
Right.
A business, a restaurant, a family, nothing.
Don't let the fact that I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops to work discourage you from having some respect about, I will fire you and or discipline you, but we can get along.
I will fire you, and I will be comfortable doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't fucking take the parking spot.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you ever been fired by somebody wearing In bare feet? No. Yeah. You could be. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You ever been kicked, your ass kicked by a guy wearing cargo shorts? Here it comes in 3, 2, 1. But it was like when I was going to bring this up today, it was important to me to say, like, there is the almost guy. I almost got in a fight. I almost didn't. You didn't almost do anything. Right. You would have just done. I never want to be around the almost guy.
How did you feel after that confrontation?
I actually felt okay because I feel like I handled it pretty well.
Yeah, how was your adrenaline spike?
My heart was racing pretty good. I was pissed, but I was able to kind of calm down because I didn't have any regret.
Yeah, that's good. Did you get a better parking spot?
No, I had a terrible parking spot. But then I went on to have a fun evening, but usually it doesn't go well when you have regret. Like, I should have done this, or I wish I would have said that, or like if he would have done it and I wouldn't have got out of the car, that would have bothered me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it went, I was like, I think I handled it okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've thought about it since, and we're talking about it now, but...
What would have happened if you would have ran into them somewhere out on Pearl Street?
Well, that's what Charity said. She's like, let's just go somewhere else because I don't want to bump into him at the restaurant. I'm like... I would be fine with that because that would make them uncomfortable because I'm not uncomfortable.
But I don't think he would be uncomfortable, though. And you aren't uncomfortable. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I would stare him down the whole time. I'd buy him a drink or something.
Totally.
Yeah. That's the power move. Yeah. That is the move. Yeah. Yeah. I've looked back at arguments I've had in situations like that. I'm like, I should have just bought that guy a drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put your arm around him. Maybe don't. Yeah. And just be like, hey,
or buy
on,
his wife
let me
a,
get
drink.
A drink.
Yeah. That would be a better move.
Yes.
And just be sitting at the bar and give her a little tip of the hat.
Or you buy the guy a drink. He's like, hey, man. You're like, fuck you. He's like, oh, I thought we were...
Is that Seabass?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That right there is Seabass. Somebody's bumping talk radio next to us. It's a very odd sound.
The knife guys. He's in a white rape van.
The worst. No, it's like a mini rape van.
Yeah, mini rape. You can only fuck midgets in that thing.
I'm pretty sure
or
that's
homeless
a,
people, right, Sam?
We're demonetized.
I'm pretty sure that's a magnet that he just take off when he swings by the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's just bumping a Lunch with Jer podcast.
That's AM radio right there.
Yeah, that's true.
When Sam and I were in Flagstaff, we had a lot of cocktails, and we just left this place that we dubbed the Vampire Bar. It wasn't called that, but that would be a better name for the place we were.
So good.
And we walked by a shelter for people, the unhoused, and there's some comments made that Sam laughed so hard, I thought he was going to fall down.
Okay.
That was the best. I don't even remember really the joke.
I do remember
it, but
I couldn't breathe. This has happened twice now. The last two places we went in Nebraska, I was underneath the table. I couldn't stand up.
This is not being filmed, or this is on.
No, this is not on.
No. We have to start capturing.
You just got
to
capture everything.
And also, this content would not be usable.
This was about the chef of one of the restaurants and a dog some intercourse. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's director cut shit.
I know. Like, but after a couple of...
That's Patreon.
After three old fashions...
Yes, there you go.
After three old fashions, the conversation goes a definite direction, and it becomes infinitely funnier and more unusable.
Oh, man. Right. And this last one, too, it bummed me out because I thought I was calibrated, but we were actually at a higher elevation. So the first night, I got pretty drunk. Okay. And I say it bummed me out. I'm just like, I end up being like, I'm a little sloppier than I expected. Right. I just don't, now I'm just in a hold it together mode.
Right.
You know, I don't love that.
Well, you did the announcement, which is always the best part of drunk, which is like, I'm super drunk, but I have 3 points I'm going to make. And he went like systematically hit all 3 points.
Oh, he did? So he was confident enough in the... Did you have those lined up before?
Well, here's the situation. I was aware. I think once you're aware of how drunk you are, then it's not too far gone because it's like then you don't even know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm aware of this. However, not participating in the conversation, not really an option for me.
Yep.
So let me see a way around that.
Okay.
I'll explain. Listen, give me some grace here. However, there are 3 points.
3 points.
I would like the floor for the next 20 minutes.
And had he had like visual aids or a PowerPoint, would have been the only thing. If he was like, I've drawn something on this cocktail napkin that will illustrate my point exactly.
So the only thing would have been better too is when he put his hand up for three, he had actually four and go, 3 points.
You're like,
and
oh
I
boy.
Need 20 minutes and he puts up five.
Oh boy. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is going to go back.
Vampire bar.
Yeah. It was a vampire bar. It was like really dark and like red light, like kind of eerie red light.
It was a really cool bar. They were certain it had pews.
Yeah. It was an old church.
Okay. And they were serving, what was it? Pasties?
Patsies.
Pasties. It was not.
It was like a hot pocket.
They were bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had 50 versions.
Like Runza's type thing?
It was like a Runza.
Okay.
But like they had 50 options, and the menu was like front and back with like all these options. Yeah. Like, this one has lamb, this one has toenails in it, and this one has peppers. And like,
so they have one thing, but they do it 50 different ways.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Kind of like Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
A breakfast Hot Pocket. Yeah. But it was a cool bar. In fact, we went back again the second night and had just as good of a
starting
time.
Starting to recognize a pattern here.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Go to the same place multiple times on a trip.
We also got a homeless guy arrested.
Oh, tell Jeremy.
Can we tell it?
Yeah, it's not going to be in the show anyway.
He might have a podcast. Yeah.
So there we were on the corner of somewhere in Flagstaff, and we're at this really cool cocktail bar with big glass windows.
Okay,
sitting in front of one of the windows.
Okay, yes?
All right, and we're like, oh, it's a cool night. We're getting video footage. That's what we're there to do. Let's put a GoPro out on this bench out in front of the window.
Yep.
Oh, we're putting it out there. GoPro's outside. We're inside. Is that going to be a problem? We're right here. We're looking at it.
Yep.
We should be fine.
Yep.
GoPro's on the bench for 5 minutes, getting a time lapse. Who comes up but a guy carrying a blanket, and he sits right. We're like, don't.
Awesome.
Boom.
Awesome.
Right down on the bench.
Yep.
And then throws the blanket over the GoPro.
Okay.
Does he know he did that? Not necessarily.
Okay.
He doesn't know much of anything right now.
It's not a new blanket. It's not like he just purchased
the
blanket.
He just get the blanket.
He didn't rip the tags off and then go, I'm going to, okay. No. Yep.
Freshly dry cleaned.
You know, so we're trying to figure out a way to extract this GoPro from the blanket. Finally,
I go,
I'm just going to go out there and ask him.
Yeah. Like,
it's fine.
Right.
As I'm walking out there, I hear, stop, Sam, stop. He's brandishing a knife.
Yeah, he pulls a knife out
of nowhere and is like whipping it around in the air.
Like butterfly style?
Kind of.
The way he was doing it, but it wasn't
a
butterfly.
It wasn't a butterfly
knife.
Okay. It was like a fishing knife.
And I can't remember if it was before or after, but another unhoused person came over, like a younger dude.
When did we start going to unhoused?
Person experiencing unhousedness.
Unhousedness.
Did I miss it?
I'm trying to be politically correct.
2025, Jeremy.
He was a fucking bum.
Yeah.
Now it's even. Now we're back to zero. Right. He walks over, but he was like a young guy, but he gets down and almost like a bowing or praying scenario to this guy, this old guy with a beard who has the knife.
Yep.
And it was just all super weird.
So I stay put. Then eventually he whips things around enough. Knife's put away.
Yeah.
But the blanket goes off the GoPro. He notices the GoPro, which we're like, don't see it. And he starts tapping it. And we're like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So after the knife incident, someone in the group asked.
Wait, I think we went and got the camera before that.
No. Well, either way, you're right. We went out.
So we're like, okay, so
double teamed. Yeah.
We're like, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to walk out. Sam, you're going to go to the left, and you're going to make a noise, and I'm just going to walk by, just grab it, and walk away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we walk out, and Sam immediately torpedoes the plane. He just walks right up to the knife guy.
Rogue. I did.
Speaking of, the knife guy was right. Okay. He just walks right up to the knife guy and goes, hey, that's our GoPro camera. And the guy, nice as could be, is like, I thought it was a robot.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, there are robots all over Flagstaff, Arizona. Completely different story.
Yep.
But
okay.
Looking back on it, fair.
The kind that delivers shit.
Yeah.
Or just all over the place.
Yeah. So he thought it was that. And by the way, this is why I know the call was made ahead of time, because once he was super nice to us, got the GoPro back, went inside, whatever.
Right.
I felt kind of bad that we made the call. But someone in the group, when he was flipping the knife around, said, should we call the cops? And I was like, yeah, I think so. This is more than just like a person being there.
Right.
Made the call, whatever.
Right.
So a few minutes go by. We go out, have the exchange Derek just told you about, secure the GoPro, go back in. Not 2 minutes after that, the night lights up like a Christmas tree. Seven police cars come down here. And everybody's, by the way, big windows in this
car. Yeah.
So it's just shining. Like, What's going on? There are a half dozen at least cops get out with
shotguns
and pointed at this guy.
Yeah.
The overkill, and we
and you guys were like,
we're just feeling terrible.
The guy was super nice.
We thought they'd come up and just like talk to the guy and get him out there.
Yeah.
It's get on the ground. They motion us to get out of the window in case they have to.
Yeah, the guy with the shotgun, we can make eye contact with him, and the homeless guy is in between us, and he's like, get out of the way.
Yeah.
So we're like, got it. Yep.
And so, thank God no shots are fired.
That part's not on.
We were trying to look inconspicuous.
The guy, and we have the GoPro footage, and we have my cell phone footage of some of the incident.
Right.
So, and then it's a whole thing. Whatever. It's just the bar's lit up. The cops. So after he goes quietly.
Yeah.
All goes fine.
Right.
After this happens, the cops barge in, and the one in front goes, "Who called it in?" In front of the whole bar. And we just go,
And he, as you can imagine, he's like a stocky,
five foot seven,
got cut from his high school football team guy.
And so we all freeze, and then a guy over in the corner goes, "It was me."
Yeah. And it wasn't him.
Oh, well, really?
Maybe he called it in too. I don't know what happened.
Must have, yeah.
But he was owning the hotel next door or running the hotel next door. So apparently this was a longer problem.
So I spoke to the cops later in the process, and I was just like, wow, quite a response. He's like, well, we all just started shift, and this is an important part of Flagstaff. There's not that much going on.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the overkill
I like it.
Kind of happened.
But I'm going
we just
back
got
to
these guns. Yeah. I'm really excited.
I have now heard multiple stories about the show that we're all part of, and you guys continue to miss the important footage of a lot of this stuff.
That's true.
We're trying to make it a family show.
And
all the
contributor
things.
To a show that you guys keep missing the important stuff. I don't know if I want my name associated with. My NIL associated with.
T.
You know what?
T.
I think this is fair criticism. I think we need to not make excuses.
Right.
And we need to say maybe we need to work on getting a little more footage of this stuff.
If we are the killers we claim to be, we must hear the criticism and embrace it instead of making excuses why we aren't delivering.
Right.
I'm glad we're having this conversation.
I'm only doing
now.
This because I care about all of us
of
and our work.
Yeah.
But it also makes you the man.
Travel with Jer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Travel with Jer. Your name is on the show. And you are blanketing us with your knowledge.
In our second 100 episodes, we will need to do a podcast on the road from the Dispatch.
I love this.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Number 100. Excellent job, as always, fellas. Fire in the mountain.
Thank you,
Jer,
guys. Appreciate
thank you.
Hey,
to Jewish people.
We do really do have listeners. I know that we do have listeners that listen all the time and are excited about our episodes. All 8 of them. So
great.
I'll call them individually.
Send a group text.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug.
Bye.